Welcome to Christians versus the World. I am your host, Dr. Gregory Williams. Thank you for joining me. In our last podcast, I dealt with the issue of blinded minds. And keep in mind, the blinded minds are those who do not know the truth of the gospel, those who are still held captive to the power of Satan. They do not see the truth of the gospel in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the verses that I used was from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 3, it says this, "And if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case," verse 4, "in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So Christians do not have their minds blind because we see the truth. We see the light of the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. We have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have left the world. We have left the kingdom of Satan. And now we are part of Jesus Christ's kingdom. We are not those destined for eternal punishment and hell with everlasting suffering. We are those who are destined for glory with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be with the Father forever. This is the destiny that we look forward to. And so then I made the point that all others, it does not make a difference what their other faith is, what their other claim to religion is, or even how some who might perceive themselves to be Christians, and really they are not Christians, if they fall into the category of not trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have truly placed faith in Christ, then their minds are still blinded. They are still destined for hell. But what I wanted to speak on particularly today was to deal with, okay, that is the case. That is the situation that we find all of these non-believers in, that their minds have been blinded. They are not Christians. It's Christians versus the world. What do we do now with this world? Or what is our responsibility now in acknowledging that they are lost, that they are those who have had their minds blinded by Satan? Well, we preach the gospel. It is still our responsibility to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, to reach these ones who do not have the gospel, to reach these ones who have not trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In fact, if you go back to the verse that I just read to you a moment ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I read to you verses 3 and 4, but listen to what verse 5 says. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, as ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Notice again, "for we do not preach ourselves." It's not about us, but we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. And as for us, well, we're the bondservants for Jesus' sake. We're servants. We're slaves to Christ. We are here to serve others. We're here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And verses 6 and 7 says this, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Here we are. We have been brought to knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." Again, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are weak as far as who we are. So in the proclamation of this gospel, in trying to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching the truth that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, if you believe what he did for you on the cross, place faith in what he did. Repent of your sins, placing faith in him, then you will be saved. This power of the gospel to save is not about us. It's not about what we are bringing to the table in the sense of our own power. We're just vessels carrying such great power, so that it would be understood that it's not about us, the messengers, but it's about the message and the one who has sent us. Here we are proclaiming to a lost and dying world what God has done for them in sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sins. And the only thing they have to do is to trust what Christ has done. That's the message that we proclaim. That's the message that we are taking to a lost and dying world. And I am here to encourage believers, to encourage Christians to get on the ball. Let's do all we can to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's do all we can to reach the world. Let's do all we can to reach those blinded by Satan. Let us not get distracted like so many are. And I too have fallen victim to being distracted by letting other things get in the way of the vision, getting in the way of the mission. The focus needs to be there. We need to have this sense of urgency about the gospel. You can't get caught up with a lot of the nonsense that others are paying attention to, even within the body of Christ. What their goals are, what their objectives are, what their agenda seems to be. I'm telling you, it's not about the lost. It's not about reaching the lost. And I'm saying, as a Christian, I've been commanded, you have been commanded to take this gospel to a lost and dying world. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 reads, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There you have the command for us to go to make disciples out of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. And he's with us to the end of the age. He's with us always. But the command has been given for us to go and to make disciples. And in order for them to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then they have to place faith in Jesus Christ. This is what we've been commanded to do. This is our mission. God has brought us to saving faith so that we can lead others to faith in Christ. God used others to bring us in, and so now we are called to reach others. We have been reconciled, right? That's what the scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And I'll read verses 10 and 11. It says this: "For if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." We have been made right with God. We have been reconciled to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. So then if we have been reconciled, then we want to see others reconciled to God. And let us remember exactly what we are talking about when we speak of this reconciliation, this reconciling. Before you place faith in Jesus Christ, you have no relationship with God. Things are not right between you and God. Of course, this is where a lot of the unbelievers, those again whose minds have been blinded, where they make their mistake because they believe that they do have a relationship with God. They do believe that they are on good terms with God, and that is not the case. It is only through Jesus Christ then that the reconciliation takes place, that we have been made right with God. And so we have been reconciled to God. And so, again, as Christians, we want to see others reconciled to God. And I like how this is summed up in regards to our mission, or what we've been called to do as far as this reconciliation, us being reconciled and now seeking others to be reconciled. If you keep going in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I say keep going because I started in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if you keep going and you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me read that again. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you understand that? Do you get that? God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, namely, if you want to know what this ministry of reconciliation is, or a description of it, what it looks like, well, verse 19, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I mean, really, you just got to try for a moment to wrap your mind around this awesome responsibility, this awesome opportunity that has been given to us. Not only awesome as far as ministry, I mean, as far as the opportunity, but the responsibility. Because it is through us now that we proclaim the word, we proclaim the message of reconciliation. No one else has the message of reconciling a lost and dying world to God through Jesus Christ but Christians. We're the only ones. There is no other source. There are no other messengers with the message from God to the unbeliever. There's no other messengers from God to those whose minds have been blinded by Satan to free them from their captivity, but the message that we as Christians carry. We are God's ambassadors. And that's what verse 20 says. Verse 20 goes on to say, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I mean, that right there shows you again why we cannot be distracted about our mission, about our responsibility, about what God has called for us to do, the greatness of the task, the awesome responsibility that has been given to us to proclaim this message to a lost and dying world, that God is reconciling you. If you want to be right with God, this is the way that you do it. We are his ambassadors. We have been designated by God to take this message to the world, to the very ones that are against us, to the very ones that hate us. We still proclaim to them Jesus Christ. That if you want to spend eternity with God, if you want to have eternal life, well, you need to place faith in Jesus Christ. You need to do as the scripture has called for you to do and trust Jesus Christ, knowing what he has done and only him, only him. And that's why with verse 21 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I read to you verses 18 through 20, but listen to verse 21. He made him, God, referring to Father, made him, referring to Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, Jesus Christ knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the message we're proclaiming. That is the message that we're proclaiming to a lost and dying world. That is, God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for our sins, to take on our sins. And this is why I come back to this point also about Christians having to know their faith. This is why I come to, and this is an important point right here. And I like to stress this, that Christians must have knowledge of their faith. A lot of times people are not comfortable witnessing because they don't know how to witness. They don't know the content of the gospel message. They don't know what they're witnessing about. So when they get to a text like this, they don't understand how significant it is and how to incorporate this text into the gospel witness to tell a lost and dying world, to tell people who are trapped by Satan, captive to Satan, that the way to your freedom, the way to salvation is through Jesus Christ and faith in him. Notice what Christ has done. He has taken all your sin. He has become sin for us. All of my dirt, all of my filth, all that I've done in my life, all that I ever will do, all my sins are placed on Christ. He takes all of my sins. And then this. And he gives me all of his righteousness. I become the righteousness of God in him. It doesn't get any more miraculous than that. It doesn't get any better than that. That is grace there. You have been saved by grace because Jesus Christ has done it all. He has taken all your sins and given you all of his righteousness. He had no sin, but he became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And this is the message that we take to the world, the very ones that are against us. This is what God has said. I have given you this message. You are my ambassadors. Now go tell the lost. Go tell those who are blind. Go tell those who are lost Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. So then why the confusion? Why this hesitancy? Why this avoiding of what the mission is and being distracted. We don't have time to be distracted. Again, there must be this urgency about what we're doing. We must be prepared. We must be equipped. We must take this gospel. We must understand that these people, the very ones that are against us again, that we're their hope. We're their hope as far as them being brought out. Well, ultimately, we know it's about God. But again, we are the vessels that God are using. We are the messengers. We are the ambassadors. And so then it is on us to take this word to these people. The scripture points this out clearly. So then let's get to it. Let's be about spreading the gospel. Let's be about proclaiming the truth of what God has done. I'll end on this passage. And this passage is taken from Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 8. Listen to what it says. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Then verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that something? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. But then verse 14, how then will they call on him and whom they have not believed? Well, they can't call on him, the scripture is saying, if they have not believed, right? So they have to, in order to call, they have to have believed in him. Well, as the verse goes on, how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And now watch verse 17, I'll close here. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. There's a lot there. But just going back to our point of them needing to be saved, they need to hear the gospel. But in order for them to hear the gospel that will save them, they have to have someone to proclaim that gospel, to reach out to them with the gospel. And that's where we come in as Christians. Let us take this gospel message to the world. Don't think about what you cannot do. Don't think about all the obstacles that might be in your way. But just think about what you can do. Just try to advance the gospel. Look for opportunities to preach the gospel. When I say preach, not saying that you need to be in a pulpit, to proclaim the gospel, to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone. No matter how small the effort, no matter what that looks like as far as the context, if you have the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ, if you have the opportunity to share the good news with Jesus Christ, a loved one, family member, friend, whoever, someone in the supermarket, someone on the street, whoever, the idea is I'm looking to share the good news. I am looking for opportunities to proclaim the truth of Jesus to whoever God will allow me to proclaim that truth to share the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. If they don't hear it from the Christian, then they will not hear the message. We have the message. We've been given this by God. I hope that in hearing this message, you will have a greater desire, that you will come to an understanding that, listen, wherever I have been when it comes to the gospel, let me step up my game. Even for myself, even with this podcast, this is me just trying to step up my game. This is me trying to do more to reach individuals with the gospel, to encourage others to proclaim the gospel. Let us focus on what's most important. This doesn't mean that we neglect other things as far as our faith. It's saying that we still recognize that we cannot let other things that we might have on an agenda get in the way of us proclaiming the gospel to the world. Thank you for joining me for Christians versus the World. My name is Dr. Gregory Williams. Thank you.